Am I as good looking as I think I am?
I wonder where normal people find friends.
Where would I find out how to be a good dad?
Should I be taking my kids to church?
What is up with my nose hair?
Crossroads Church. Real people asking real questions.
Crossroads Church is a community of people across the country, trading isolation for friendship, insecurity for hope. We're pursuing God in the midst of our mess, a God who loves us and takes us on incredible adventures. Check us out.
Hey, welcome to Crossroads. My name is Brian, and this is Winston. We're going to be your host for today. Crossroads is a movement of people all over the country that have been trying to get closer to God. Sometimes people meet in big groups and facilities. Sometimes it's in coffee shops. Sometimes it's in our own homes. Wherever you are spiritually, wherever you are geographically, we're excited to give you a piece of our hearts for Christmas this year. What you can expect today is over the next hour or so is some teaching that's hopefully relevant to your life, some Christmas carols, and also some stuff for children. We create things for kids that meet them where they are. That's what we're going to do right now. We're going to see some of the things that we create to help develop the hearts of kids in the process that also develops our hearts. So let me pray for us before we get any further. God, help. Thank you for today. Help us to have a time of unique connection with you, and may you give us the best Christmas possible. Amen.
The Christmas Story from the Bible. A surprise is the kind of a thing you remember, and that's what we do every single December. We celebrate Christmas when Jesus was born, the surprise more surprising than any before. It wasn't that no one knew God would be sending a rescuer. The narrative had been pending for thousands of years. They knew he'd appear, but unknown was the when and the how and the year. See, in the beginning, God had created the world, which was good, but he thought his greatest idea had been people. Oh, he loved them so. He gave them the world he had made for a home. But God told them one rule they could never break. There existed a tree that they just must not take any fruit from, not one piece, not one single bite. But a devious serpent said that was a lie. He convinced God's creation they could do what they want. They didn't need rules, he said nonchalant. So they tasted the fruit and they instantly knew that it wasn't a thing that had been good to do. But God couldn't let that be the end of the story, even though we all know that they should have been sorry. He crafted a plan to redeem his creation. His plan was a person, a family, a nation. Oh yes, that Mary, a girl of great import, for without her part in the story, we'd be short a mother, someone who could have the new babe. Enter the angel, let's call him Gabe. So Gabe told young Mary, you're having a son. Please call him Jesus, because he is the one who saved the whole world. This was God's rescue plan to reverse the worst curse. Remember that, the first man? So Mary was in, she believed, good to go, but she was engaged to a guy we'll call Joe. He had reason to fear when the angel said not to, but opposite that, he obeyed like you ought to. So Joe was from Bethlehem, oh, that little town, yeah, that one. So they made a trip, looked around for a place they could stay, get married for some peace, but that night wasn't silent, not in the least. On this night had come God's great big surprise, a baby was born, yes, a baby who cries, who spits up and gets up all hours of the night, a newborn born to make everything right. But God did tell some of the birth of his son. They weren't popular nor special someones, just some shepherds watching over their flock when an angel appeared and they started to gawk. And the angel said, you've got no reason to fear. In fact, you should celebrate. Jesus is here. He's been born in a stable, a manger, in fact. So get going, get moving. It's time to react. A stable, they may have thought, that can't be right. A savior would not spend his very first night in a manger, the place where the animals eat. That's not quite a place where a king ought to be, but indeed, there he was. Just like God had said, a king but no castle or comfortable bed, just a baby, a small tender child who was born, who like no one else ever would save the whole world. Now some magi out east had seen a bright star and decided to follow, no matter how far. So they came and they saw and they knelt and they gave frankincense, myrrh, and gold to the heavenly babe. As we get to the end of our story, let's pause. And remember, the glorious part of this all was that God saved his people, the ones that he loves, with the greatest surprise that ever there was. It was small, at least at first glance, just a baby. But pay close attention, and maybe, just maybe, you'll see what God plans, that astonishing rescue to ransom his people, and that includes you.
Thank you. born. Oh, it was a long, long time ago when God decided he would show us just how much he loves us over and over again. But oh, it wasn't what you might suppose. No big announcement, fancy throne to show the world the king who come to save them, no. There's a star that appears in the night to the shepherds and magi alike, and they follow from near and far to find him. Isn't only that he's born, it's that he's coming back again, and there'll be no more sadness, no more fear, no more darkness, no more tears, no more sadness, no more fear, no more darkness, love is here.
Newborn king to see. Oh. when we come. Drum in hand, I've come tonight. And what will you do with what I bring? Oh, this is my beggar's offering. You say you're the light that gives me life. With drum in hand, I've come tonight. Play.
Anyone who has ever been surrounded by darkness understands our need
for light.
Light that brings clarity to the confusion and pain of bumping around in the dark. Light that brings rescue from oppression. Light at the end of a long tunnel of suffering. The light of a morning dawn chasing away the nightmares of the night. Light, the promise of Christmas to a world lost in darkness.
Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, the darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn.
This new dawn promised in Isaiah is the reason we celebrate Christmas today. because the story of Christmas actually begins when the world was dark and formless. It was out of this darkness God called forth life.
He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it.
The light of all mankind, our promise of rescue, broke into the world in the form of a baby born in Bethlehem. But the story of Christmas does not end at the manger. It is only the beginning of God's rescue plan for those of us lost in darkness, because the baby king grew into a man who claimed his light would give us life.
Jesus spoke to them saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life."
This life, the life of Jesus, is the light of the world. The light we all need to rescue us. Because the truth is, we don't really know how lost we are until the lights go out.
Welcome to Christmas, the Crossroads, and Merry Christmas. My name is Brian, and I am in a bit of a strange place. You wouldn't expect something around Christmas to be underneath ground in a dark, tight, restricted space. I'm here because oftentimes there's things in the physical realm that mirror the spiritual realm. There's things on the outward experience that tell us something about the inward experience. And I know that Christmas is all about making things look really good, but I know that beneath the cheesy Christmas sweater you may be wearing lies a heart that might be feeling restricted, a life that might be feeling dark, like we actually need help, that we're just not in a good spot. Believe it or not, feeling this way and wanting to get out of that space is exactly what Christmas is all about. Oh, jeez. Always wear your helmet, boys and girls. Well, spelunking is not my normal pastime. For a lot of people, it is. I do have hobbies, adventures I love doing that are out in the elements. The thing is, when you're out in the elements, you never know what's going to happen. You make one bad turn, you make two bad turns, or something totally outside of your control, like nature, intervenes and a rush of water comes through an orifice like this and you're in a bad, bad way. This is the way life is, really. We can be cruising down the lane of life, having a great time, thinking we have everything in control. We have one bad decision or two bad decisions, or somebody else decides something, or something happens with the economy, or something else that we have no control over, and all of a sudden, a torrent of water is rushing against us. This is the way many of us have felt or do feel, and it's exactly what's involved in the story of Christmas. When Jesus was born, he shared the initial experience that every human being does. And he shares that experience with us, coming off of what the shepherds hear from angels when angels say to them, "Unto you is born a Savior." Or another way to look at that is a rescuer. The situation I described earlier of water rising and being trapped is exactly what happened in Thailand just this last summer. 12 boys who were soccer teammates decided to go on an interesting day hike, and everything looked fine as they were hiking through their little cave structure, and then the rains came and the water rose and they found themselves marooned on a little cave outcropping inside of the cave structure with water all around them and them being unable to get out. The authorities sent in a qualified person, Saman Gunan,
was a highly trained rescuer and scuba diver. He took oxygen bottles to them, and he also tied off ropes from where they were outside the cave for when they were ready to make their exit. As Salman was leaving the cave, it was more than he could handle, and he ended up, unfortunately, dying. All those boys eventually got out of that cave, but only because someone gave his life for them. This is the story of Christmas. Somebody comes into life in order to give his life for us, to get us out of the perilous danger that we find ourselves in. This is the message of Christmas. All of us need a rescuer. We need someone from the outside to come and take us to a new place. All of us do. There's a limit to how much you can help yourself through self-help. There's a limit to what the government can do for us. There's a limit to what your family can do for you, no matter how many resources they do or don't have. We need a rescuer or a savior. Joseph is told by the angel, you will call his name Jesus, and he will save the world from their sins. Jesus comes and does what only he can do, because he is what only he is, and that is light itself. He says in the book of John, I am the light of the world. This is great news, man. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've done. I don't know what dark places you may have been or are in right now. There is a rescuer. It's coming for you. You're qualified because he is qualified and he cares about you. No matter who we are, there is hope this Christmas because there is a rescuer that has come for you.
Can you hear? I love walking through these Christmas lights. Christmas lights always remind me of when I was a girl and we would visit my grandma's house every year. We always went to a lights display at a place called Ogilby Park. And I still remember the impact that it had on me. I was fascinated and they drew me in and just told me that something special was happening. I don't know what kind of lights you like, maybe you like the ones that are set to music and, or maybe you just like the simple white lights with red bows. Whatever lights you prefer, I think it's probably because they have that effect on you. They draw you in and just warm something inside of you. Light has come to signal all kinds of things to us, and they're all beautiful. Things like hope and even home. And I know that this is because God himself is light. One of his names is the Father of Lights. And Christmas is the celebration of that Father sending his son Jesus to the earth to be born as a baby boy. And that boy would one day be called the light of the world. But what's behind the light of God? The first words in the book of John actually show us what it is. John chapter 1 says that in him there's life, and that life is the light of all mankind. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. John explains that the reason that we're attracted to the light of Christmas is because there's life in Jesus. The life that we are looking for, real life, life that death and darkness can never overcome. Christmas attracts us because we are looking for this kind of life, powerful, beautiful, filled with hope. And somehow, at this time of year, it actually just seems a little bit closer. Like the magic of Christmas is that we just believe that if we reach out, it might actually be there. And that's actually right, because it's found in him. Christmas is the dawning of his light in the world. It's the announcement that that kind of life came looking for us. And I want you to receive it. Receive the life that is in him, because it doesn't stop at Christmas. If we go on with him, we actually get transformed into his light. The Bible says that we become children of light. If you ask my kids what it means to be a Patterson, they're gonna tell you that Pattersons are light in darkness. We so believe that this is what God has for our lives. This is what he intends to do with each of us, that we say that's what our family is about. But it's actually not just for the Pattersons, it's for all of us, any of us who would receive his life. Look around me, look at this. This beautiful display of lights, this is a perfect picture of the life that you and I were made for. It's the life that we were promised in him. Each of us, our own beautiful, powerful light that overcomes the darkness. But together, on strands of lights that are connected to other strands of lights that are put into beautiful, powerful displays of the Father of Lights, well, that's the life that we were made for. You were made to shine, and we were meant to shine together. The prophet Isaiah actually left some words for us. And I want you to hear these words as an invitation for you this Christmas. Not just for you, not just for me, but for all who would eventually share in this kingdom of light. Isaiah says this: "Arise, shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord rises on you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over all the people. But the Lord rises on you, and his glory appears over you." This Christmas, let yourself be drawn to the light. Receive the life that is in Jesus waiting for you. Arise, shine. It's time to be what you were made to be, a light in this world.
Nowhere, nowhere. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Those words from Psalm 23 were probably the first prayer I learned as a kid. And if you're familiar with it, do you remember the line that says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." Man, I'll be honest, as a kid, all of that talk about the valley of the shadow of death scared me to death. I don't know what comes to mind for you, but I think about a really dark place, and I didn't want any part of that. In fact, I'll be honest with you, just between you and me, even as an adult, I'm still a little afraid of the dark. So when I'm in an environment like this, unknown, if it's dark, the first thing I'm doing is whipping out my cell phone and turning on the flashlight. Instant light, instant direction, no problems. My technology makes me feel really self-sufficient. So much so that you can forget that it's only been in the last 40 to 50 years that we can carry instant light in our pocket. That's a relatively modern human phenomenon. Before that, if you were lost in the dark, you were just in the dark. You were stuck, and you were probably dead meat. Light meant life. So whether it was a roaring fire in a cave, or a lantern lighting your way, or even something as simple as a single candle, to have light was to have life. And it represented things like warmth and comfort and safety and community. The idea of being lost in these woods without my technology to help makes descriptions of Jesus like this one feel much more urgent and needed. Luke 1, 78 through 79 says, "Because of God's tender mercy, the morning light from heaven is about to break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death and to guide us to the path of peace. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." I believe Luke had Psalm 23 in mind when he wrote these words because he understood that light was life. And so it's no coincidence that he compares Jesus coming into the world at Christmas to the breaking through of light into a world of darkness. Because that's what Christmas is. Christmas is God breaking through the darkness of this world with the light of life. Where do you feel like you're groping in the dark right now in your life? Man, this world is full of darkness. We all experience pain and suffering, difficulty, things we can't navigate on our own. Sooner or later, we all realize we are desperate for light. And the good news is that Christmas is God's response to our desperation with deliverance of light in human form and Jesus coming. That's why John said, "In him was life, and that life was the light of men." Light in heaven broke through in the form of a baby in a manger that grew up to have a victory over death that would put darkness in its place forevermore. And friend, he did that for you. He did it for me. Jesus came to be our light and to guide our feet in the way of peace.
Thank you.
All of us have felt trapped, whether in the past or right now. Maybe you are trapped by an addiction. Maybe you're trapped by a relationship that's gone awry. Maybe you're trapped by a medical diagnosis that has completely turned your life upside down. Maybe you are trapped by a job change, a financial challenge. I mean, I could go on and on and on. All of us have had things in the past or are having things right now. That's what's called being normal. It's called being human. Only one person never dealt with any of that stuff, and his name was Jesus. He dealt with difficulty. He went to a cross, but only one person has never needed rescue. It's because he is the one who came to rescue you. Jesus would just love to have a relationship with you right now. He would love to instigate a time for you to be one with him and to be rescued and to feel the freedom that comes from knowing that he is with you and he is in you. If you've never received Christ before, I would love to walk you through that process right now. It's a simple prayer that you can pray, and it goes something like this. I'll pray this prayer, and if you want to pray this prayer because you want to receive Christ as your rescuer, you could just pray this. It goes like this. Jesus, I ask that you would come into my life right now. Please forgive me for the wrong turns that I've made. Please forgive me for the sins that I've committed. Would you please fill me with your Holy Spirit right now? And I will follow you as best I can for the rest of my life. Amen. Man, I prayed a prayer like that when I was 15, and my life changed. If you've prayed that prayer, you need to know and believe that something new has clicked inside of you. You are known by God. You are loved by God. And God literally dwells inside of you right now. And when that happens, we feel a level of joy. That's why we're going to sing right now. We're going to sing because we want our joy to go to God. We want to tell him thank you for rescuing us and forgiving us this Christmas. While we do that, we're also going to have the opportunity to say thank you another way. That's through giving. Jesus gave himself for us, and we can give of our lives to him, and we can give of a portion of our resources. So you can follow the little prompt at the bottom of the screen here if you want to give. We'd love for you to be a part of the team and to tell God thank you in that way. And so let's connect with him right now through singing.
Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Everybody come, yeah. Joyful and triumphant.
Hey, well, thanks for being a part of us today, giving us a bit of your Christmas tradition. Maybe we start a new tradition with you, just having Winston and I with you. I hope you've had a meaningful time. You've gotten a bit closer to God. You've understood some things about God. We just want to help you and partner with you and encourage you wherever you are in life. If we'd love to hear from you. You can email us or you can chat with us on our website. And we'd love to see you again. We do this pretty much every single week. We start a brand new series in January 2019. That's right, 2019 happens like less than a week from now. We want to give us the best 2019 possible and the best attitude and mind going into 2019. So we start a new series called The New Mind, and we will see you then.
The new year approaches. This is your moment. Transform your mind. Secure your weapon. Hope, a powerful strength that sustains the mind, body, and soul. Except this year, actually do it. As your mind goes, so goes your life. Make 2019 a year of the new mind.
Come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord. Everybody come, gather round, gather. Gather around.